listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 176. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's got so much patience, thank God for him, Tom Brownstone. This week, we're back from our hiatus, officially moved into our temporary home,
and
ready to do this thing we do.
Let's rock and roll.
But we're also tired, and so instead of having one in-depth topic this week, we are expanding on two blog posts I wrote earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
One about our new near total lack of privacy in this new house, and the other about what to do when you want DS and your partner doesn't. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, lovingdsm.
Oh, I thought maybe you had some time to kind of let that...
My hate for it grew. the handle, so you can follow us on Instagram, is lovingds and the number one, lovingds1. Or you can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream this episode every Wednesday. That used to be Thursday, but for the summer, it will be Wednesday.
Yep.
All links are in the show notes. And we'd like to give a massive shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon. Even when we were on hiatus, we were trying to check in and chat when we could. Thank you to our ongoing patrons, our newest patrons, all our patrons. We see you, we love you, and we thank you. This Saturday is our monthly live Q&A. For patrons only. You only have to pledge as low as $1 to get in to be able to watch that. If you go to patreon.com/KaylaLords, that's patreon.com/KaylaLords, you can support this kinky thing we do, become a kinky patron, get more of us, and we will love you forever.
And keep us supplied in coffee.
Oh God, the coffee emergency. There's still coffee emergency. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yep.
Okay, and here we go. Poor Tom Brownstone. It's a completely different setup, y'all. It's a completely different setup.
Well, we'll talk
setup.
About that in the bonus section, too.
So, I only have one announcement.
Okay. All right.
And that is a reminder. Your online shops were never closed while we moved. But you are back in the shop.
Yes, I am.
And so, I just wanted to say, we have shit for sale.
Yeah.
If you want kinky shit, you go to the Kinky Fuckery shop. Because, that's how I would name a shop where we sell paddles that he makes in Canes, oh my. And then if you just need a nice, lovely, like, vanilla safe gift, it's too late for Father's Day because we're doing this on Wednesday and Father's Day is on Sunday. I have to go, like, take care of that with the boys later this week. But other gifts coming up, birthdays and the holidays and all that stuff. That is the Wood Dom, where there's bowls and pens and bottle openers. And you're going to be making coffee scoops soon, too.
I'm going to be making coffee scoops.
We have one.
And I have shaving sets and keychains and all kinds of neat wood turn
gifts. I know
gifts.
You have pens and I know you have pencils. Do you still have pen and pencil sets?
I have a couple pen and pencil sets left, yes.
So, it's shop.kaylalors.com for the kinky fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
And it is thewooddom.com. For the vanilla stuff.
Yeah.
If you're watching my video, link in the description. Give me a little bit of time to do that. If you're listening to the audio, show notes page will have all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We figure we might as well pimp ourselves. We did have a few orders.
Yeah, we did.
But you couldn't do any special orders.
I was not able to do special orders. Shop is all back up and running. Matter of fact, I've been out there working the last 2 days and it has been great.
We will so talk about that in the bonus section too, but oh my god, his mood is so much better, and only the video watchers will be able to see this. Just remember that.
I know, but there's one of the pieces I turned out today. It's a Norfolk Island pine bowl. So yes, the shop is back up and running, and I am happier than the pig in poop.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Oh my gosh, he was hard to live with is all I'm saying. He needs to be glad I love him.
I came in the house the last 2 days grinning ear to ear.
I know, it's so nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
It is, yes. So, y'all, this episode is so not, I hope this is not the first time anybody's watching or listening to us, because we're sorry. So let's talk about the no privacy thing. This happens to us every summer.
Yes.
And it, you know what? It is a surprise every summer. I'm like, oh, that's right, children. Children live here.
It's like one of those bad memories that kind of gets buried.
So before anybody goes, well, why don't you put them in summer camp? Or why aren't they doing this? First of all, my children are indoor children. They're not going outside. They just, that's not their thing. Because they're my children. I don't go outside. And I would like to get them in some camps, but partly because I didn't think to even look before until we got here. And I was like, oh my God, these children need something to do this summer. And partly because they're about to go off for a few weeks to be with their grandparents anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't really start looking. And when I did start looking, they would love like technology camps. They would love computer camps. They would love digital media camps. There's none of that here. That is not even enough. I would pay whatever the money is. There is none of that here. So they are home with us all day. Now, they're at that age. They just want to be in their room.
They just want to do their thing.
Right.
Which is nice.
Which is fine. Which, I mean, I'm loving this part of parenting because for all of you parents of small children out there, let me assure you, they get older.
Yeah.
They do grow up. But this house has the absolute worst acoustics. I'm not even sure how we're recording now on audio. We don't really have a choice. If there's an echo, if it's a little weird, that we have found the best place we can to record. The closet is a walk-in closet, but it's not big enough to hold us like the old closet could.
No.
Nor could we pop the video streaming stuff.
No. Not have the lighting and
no. And this everything. House does not have an office, which when we buy, we will make sure we have an office.
Office. Dedicated renting office right now. For this. I mean, the thing with this house that doesn't help, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Tile throughout the house. There is no carpet to absorb any sound. We are not, because it is a rental, we're not hanging anything on the walls, which also serves to help absorb sound. So, yeah, it is a little echoey in here. But you know what? We'll do what we can do. And,
right. Hopefully the content is interesting enough that you're like, you know what? I can deal with the echo. So those are our realities. We also keep doing a test where everybody goes in their bedroom, including us, goes in their bedroom, closes the door. And one of us, me with the voice that carries, speaks. We can hear each other. We
can hear
each
other
perfectly. So getting loud for kink, not going to be an option.
No.
A smack on the butt goes off like a bullet.
Gunshot.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Now you're wondering, you are recording, where are these children? They thankfully are in their rooms, engrossed in their YouTube watching, video game playing, TV watching, like whatever. Netflix.
On the other side of the house.
On the other side of the house. And I know the oldest has his earbuds in because he's at that age where he's like, yeah, that stuff sounds cool, but not if it's what my parents are talking about. That's like torture. So he's not interested in hearing about it from us.
No. Not at all.
So we can do this, but that's another reason why we changed the recording time. Because normally it was Thursday, it was midday, especially because they were off at school, so it was perfect. There was nobody even home. But at this time of day, they are less likely to need anything. They've had dinner. They've probably had dessert. They just want to play their stuff till it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. They've been fed and watered, showered, all the important stuff.
And there's a good chance that if we played late enough at night, they might not notice.
Yeah.
They might not notice.
Yeah.
But I also am finding, so just my fear of lack of privacy has me not want to play. And I think that is something that other people could easily identify with. You're not sure if you can be heard. You don't know if the person who might, whether it's a child or another family member or a roommate or whoever, you don't know if they can hear you. You're not quite sure. So what do you do? Not a damn thing. And here's what I can tell you about not doing a damn thing.
Do tell.
I'm very frustrated. I'm very frustrated.
Yeah.
I am very frustrated. Now, we have had sex.
Yeah.
And see, you can hear me getting a little bit quieter. I know what we're talking about. And I know who's behind me. We have had sex, but we have not done spankings.
No.
We have not done any orgasm play with me because I'm, even when I'm trying to be quiet.
She's not.
I'm not. It used to be kind of funny to me during like the fall and the spring at our old condo because we would have the windows open.
Yes.
And you would get me playing get really loud.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would find out, like, 5 minutes into it that our next-door neighbor was sitting on her back porch smoking a cigarette. And so then the challenge was, oh, can you be quiet? So let's talk about it. How are we supposed to get kinky? I mean, so in my blog post, I talked about some of the things we've talked about many times, which is how to be your DS self when there are people around, like when your vanilla mm-hmm. life interferes. We've already got that down. Y'all, I spent 45 minutes getting coffee because I am the coffee submissive. That's right. What I do.
Coffee service.
Yeah, coffee service. I am more likely to sort of jump when you say my name and go, what do you need? Mm-hmm. I have tried to be more attentive because... Yes. Without the physical aspect of our kink, I have to rely on more of the mental and emotional right. side. But I need the physical side.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I suggested in the blog post, and you
right.
tell me how you feel about this, is okay. what you do is if you have a noisy kink or you are a noisy person during some of your kink, like spanking. That's a noisy kink, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Start exploring other kinds. So the one I recommended for us... was bondage, was yeah. rope bondage.
Yep.
I would like to report I have not been tied up yet.
No.
The
night I did have the rope pulled out was the night you had a muscle spasm.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of those.
Yeah.
So, I'm feeling almost 40.
That kind of threw a kink in the works.
You're
yeah.
so funny.
I know.
Kink puns. Slapping my knee.
So, yeah, but no, I have the rope out, and yeah, the rope would be a big plus.
And part of it's because I find it enjoyable because we're together. I find the closeness enjoyable. I do like the squeeze of rope, but I don't find that orgasmic. Like, I'm going to relax into it. I might hit a little bit of subspace if I go deep enough,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to hear me screaming through any rope bondage. So it is the right. quieter of the two. Plus, I'm all about multitasking. I know y'all are shocked by that. I was like, oh, we could get pictures from that. And I could post those to my personal blog, CaylaLawrence.com, mm-hmm. if you want to see nudity. So,
feed the exhibitionist.
Yeah, I know. But I did have another idea, and
okay.
I don't know if it could be a quiet kink. Because that's the thing. You got to find your quiet kinks, right? Do you think we could finally do wax play?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I might hiss, like, when the heat of the wax hit me. Mm-hmm. I think I would do that. And I know you. I know you. You would be like, oh, here's the challenge. Don't make any noise.
Yeah.
Which just makes me want to make more noise.
That's right. And no, I have seriously been thinking about wax play. Matter of fact, I was reading up about some wax play the other night.
Mm.
And I picked up a few things,
mm-hmm.
like a cheap shower curtain.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yep.
And we have a stash of candles that we've never used.
And we have a stash of candles and some old towels
mm-hmm.
to lay on. So, yeah, and from all that, I'm not going to talk about it here. This is not something I can talk about on the show yet, but this has also given me another idea for something I may be making in the shop soon.
Ah, kinky fuckery, right?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Kinky fuckery.
That rolls into wax play.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what you come up with. Also, I know, right? So those are our kinks. So of course you might not want to explore those kinks, but that would be my challenge to you mm-hmm. is if your normal kink can't really be done because of noise or you're not quite sure who's going to like bust in or whatever it might be, look for what you can do quieter. But the other one, and I can't believe I am suggesting this because I'm the submissive and I should know better, but I'm going to be the one to say it. Doms, you can always... with the consent of your submissive partner, of course, do the quiet challenge and see if you're going to do yeah. everything you can and can you be quiet.
And the big obvious one, too, is gags.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have thought about that. I become really primal when I wear my big gag.
So
I become
loud. Gag. Yeah.
And the ball gag, the only ball gag I can do and not, because I get claustrophobic and I get panicky, so I have to be careful.
We have that soft one with the holes in it.
Right. I have to do the one with the holes in it. And it does muffle your voice for sure. But I have this ability to scream from back of my throat. You're going to hear me. It might be muffled. It might be guttural. But I'm going to make myself known.
There you go.
So I have to be careful.
There you go.
The other option is if you have the means to try and go find a space away. So if you can hire a babysitter for the night, if you can go stay the night somewhere else. Like if you're, especially I'm thinking of like college students and 20 somethings who still like maybe have to still live at home. Like you're like, crap, I don't want to live at home. I want to go get my kink on somewhere. This might be the time to go explore and find out what is in your area. Or if you've got a partner, go get a hotel room or whatever you can do. I think, and this is personal, not everybody will feel this way, but something about having hotel sex just feels kinkier. It's not inherently, but
something about it.
Something about it.
Because you're not in your normal surroundings.
Right. And you do feel like you have more freedom.
More freedom. And I think for me, what goes with that is less inhibition.
Yes. So that is obviously not something you can do all of the time. We cannot do it all of the time.
No.
The only reason I have not suggested it yet is because we know they're going to be with their grandparents for a few weeks.
Week and a half.
Is it really? No. It's today's what? Today's date is the 12th?
12th.
You've got 17 days. Oh. 2.5 weeks. I'm so sorry to have burst that bubble. Oops, sorry. So
drown my sorrows in my coffee.
His cloud caramel macchiato. I don't know when you got fancy. So that's the other
After
thing.
That letdown, I needed it.
I'm just losing my train of thought. So I guess the point is you're going to have to, what I'm finding is when we don't have the privacy we're used to and we don't have the freedom we're used to, we have to put extra effort into our kink.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any of us who have to go out and live the vanilla life and still maintain our dynamic understand what that means, that you have to like get creative and think about it in ways that most other people don't have to think about their relationship. Like, how am I going to manage this so that I get what I need and want without anybody knowing? And it's no different with the physical activities. I have, and I can't say what yet because it hasn't even been released to the general public, but I have a toy coming to try out and to review that is for me. And it is supposed to be a smaller, discreet, blah, 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 vibrator. Oh, yeah. I'm going to put that thing through its paces and we're going to find out if I can play the quiet game. And that toy is like, I'm looking forward to this. So if you're a sex toy fan, look for quieter sex toys. If you can be quiet or if you can challenge yourself to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
For an orgasm at this point, I would challenge myself. I would so challenge myself. I would so challenge myself. But it is. I think it's about being creative. And also realizing that sometimes we get to live the life of constant kinky fuckery. Like, I know as we're recording, Panda Daddy and Panda Kitten are together. They are a long distance couple. We adore them. I hope they get a chance to listen to the podcast at some point after they're, you know, because I know what they're doing right now when they're together.
Right.
But
not listening to us.
Right, no, please don't be. Please be doing your kinky fuckery.
Right.
But like, I know when a long distance relationship, when you get together, like it's just nonstop, as much as you can, nonstop kinky fuckery because you got to fill in time.
Right.
But the reality for most of us who live this day to day, our partners are right there with us, is for the vast majority of us, we have to just fit in our kinky fuckery around the rest of our lives. And sometimes you just go without for a while. Sometimes you do have to wait a week or two. I mean, think about it. We've talked about this in a million other ways in the past. You know, when I'm physically hurt, when you're physically hurt, when somebody is sick, you're not doing kinky fuckery.
No.
So this is kind of on that level of sometimes you just can't, no matter how much you might want to. And sometimes you have to get really creative. And sometimes you play the quiet game. I'm here for the quiet game. Please, can we get kinky? I will do my best. Wax or rope, I don't care. Now, we know mutually that we can't do spanking because I could be quiet all day long, but the spanking is not quiet.
No.
The spanking is not quiet.
Nope.
So, yeah, that's our reality. And it really does hit us every summer. And every summer I have this moment of, we have no privacy right now. Okay.
Now, the main difference in the condo we had, it was a split floor plan. So while we couldn't full-on play, I could at least give you a couple good swats. here and there. Break out the flogger, you know, especially if it was late at night. Mm-hmm. Here, unfortunately, with the rental, we did not have a big pot to choose from.
No. In order to accept pets, be in the right school zone and be the right size.
We narrowed that down. That came down to a very narrow field. So, you know, yes, our bedroom is on one side of the hallway, and it's a massive bedroom.
Oh my God, it's going to be perfect. Perfect for impact play.
Yeah.
As soon as we're alone, oh my God, mm-hmm. so much room to swing.
I could swing a flogger so easily in that room.
It's going to be awesome.
But unfortunately, you open up the bedroom door, step out into the hallway, and you're facing right into the oldest boy's room. And then a couple steps down is the youngest.
And you know, and I know there are people out there, and you might even be somebody who's thinking it, well, let them hear, and then, you know, who cares? You can explain it away or you can whatever. And the thing is as open as we are, and we are, we talk about sex with them. Mm-hmm. We even, now that the oldest has his own room, I tease him about watching porn. I know it's probably happening, or it will happen soon. I'm trying to, like, make it not happen. But, like, we tease about that. Like, we're open about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He has heard the word kink. He has heard the term BDSM. That does not mean I want my kids to hear my sex life going on.
Right.
About the activities and what's healthy and what's legal and all that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Being in any way, even accidentally interacting with our sex life.
It's one thing.
That's a step too far for me.
It's one thing to talk to them age appropriate about mm-hmm. different things, but to, you know, blatantly put that in their face like that is just not cool.
No. I have been on sex positive, really, really progressive liberal Twitter. I know that there are good arguments to be made for what. That's fine. That's for other people. That's my boundary. And I'm like, no. So we just have to get creative. And I guess that's the thing about privacy. You just have to get creative. And yeah, sometimes you do go without, which then means to me that when you get that opportunity, whether you go to the club or you rent a hotel or finally get a date where there's nobody around, you have to make the most of it. That, you know, you have to take care of your health, but that can't be a day where you're like, I'm too tired for that. Or, it's not that I'm like, if it's important to you, it's one of those things that has to become a priority when you get the opportunity. And we are already planning on what we'll be doing when we see the taillights pulling out of the driveway and the house is empty.
No hesitation, no holding back, folks.
I might just walk around naked for a weekend because I can't at that point. Just
there you go.
So anything else you want to say about privacy?
No, pretty much said everything we can talk about.
I know, and we do have the blog post if you are looking for some specific ideas. It really is a very sort of individualized thing because it depends on your situation and how often you lose privacy and where your partner is and what you like to do and what you're into and the opportunities you have to go somewhere else. And it's not that complicated, but it's very individualized. Okay, so the next thing that I wrote about this week.
Okay.
And it's one of those moments that when I read it, I see the message come through from a listener or a watcher or a reader or whatever. I want to both hug them and shake them. because you can feel their enthusiasm for the lifestyle in their messages. When they're subs, I know they're in sub frenzy. I can now see this from a mile away. I look at you. Ooh, I smell the sub frenzy just wafting off of you. And it's fine. It's not anything to be ashamed of. It's not anything to be embarrassed about. It happens to all of us. We get excited. We want to do all the things. We want the person we're in a relationship to come along for the ride. And sometimes you are fortunate and you go, hey, now there's this kinky thing. Would you like to explore it with me? And your partner goes, I don't know, but yeah, I'm at least willing. Let's find out.
Yeah.
And then you get the partners who do. I have found a couple of things based on messages I've gotten. One, they either just go flat out, no, not into it, don't want it, leave me alone. And they might have some reasons that aren't good reasons, meaning they have made assumptions about what it means to be in BDSM, or they somehow think it's unhealthy, or like they have all of the stigma attached to it, and they see it negatively because of misinformation and all of that, or just not being comfortable with sex and desire and all that good stuff. And then sometimes you have the people who go, yeah, sure, but they never get past the, yeah, I'll just say yes. Like when it's time to go, okay, well, here, check out this website or listen to this podcast or watch this video or read this book or whatever. They don't actually take action.
They have no initiative.
No, none. And you feel like you are pulling teeth and they're still not doing anything. So two things happens. You get frustrated and they get frustrated. And what has happened lately, we've just had a string of them, several people who've had these same issues. And ultimately, they, like I said at the top, what they want to know is, how do I make my partner do this BDSM thing with us? And the easy answer is you don't. I do think, though, that depending on the relationship, depending on how long you've been together, how close you are, how good and healthy of a relationship it is, that doesn't mean we have to respect everybody's boundaries. We have to respect our partner's preferences, the way they feel about BDSM. Even when it's based on misinformation, it's a valid feeling. Okay. We can't just negate their feeling, even if we think they're wrong, even if they're spewing awful lies about what they think BDSM is because they don't know any better. You can't just go, well, you're wrong, and then somehow think you're going to convince them and bring them along. So in the blog post, I did write a little bit about what you can do to help not necessarily change your partner's mind, but to create the circumstances for them where if they are ever going to be open to it, within these circumstances, they might be. So first of all, it's not enough to just talk to your partner and go, I want this kinky thing. Here's what this kinky thing is. I will be your submissive. Dominate me. Like that's sometimes it is that easy, but sometimes it's not that easy.
No.
So it's not enough to just say what you want. You then have to listen to them, and you have to listen really, really deeply and really, really carefully because, like I said, sometimes you have a partner that's like, yeah, sure. But then they do nothing, right? Well, are they asking questions? If they are asking questions, do you know the answers? And you might not, and that's okay. Well, then do you know how to get the answers for them? Are you listening to any assumptions that they're making, right? Like, are they filling in the blanks of what they think BDSM is? And is that even accurate? I've seen a lot of people, the last time I saw this directly, it was a dominant who had messaged me and said, I'm trying to be a dominant. I want to do this for my partner. I want to make them happy. But it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. And in the conversation, come to find out, the definition they had in their head of what it means to be a dominant was not their style of dominance. Like, it was one really narrow definition of domination.
Ah.
So once somebody can expand their horizons and go, dominance can mean this, this, that, or the other. It's infinite. It's a spectrum. It can be what I want it to be. Then it becomes easier to go, well, maybe I can explore this. So you do need to listen very carefully to what your partner thinks this means as you're explaining it based on their prior experience, whatever. And then I think you have to pay attention to their actions. Are they procrastinating? Are they telling you they're going to do something and then they never do it? That is a massive sign because God knows I have known some lazy people in my life. I was married to one. The laziest people I know. The laziest people I know, when they really want to do something, they can do it, right? When they get motivated to do it, when it's something they want, even the people that you think, well, good Lord, I can't get you up to do anything, but you have the energy to do this. Those people, even those people can be motivated by the right things. And so is your partner motivated at all? Yeah. And if they're not, why not?
The other thing that needs to be thought about is, you know, the other person may just not be dominant.
Well, that is very true.
Okay. If it's flipped the other way, that person finds out that they're dominant, the other person in the relationship may not necessarily be submissive.
Right. Just because you are, and just because you see the traits in your partner. Oh, I'm sure they could be dominant. I see those dominant traits. I see those submissive traits. That doesn't mean anything because the actions don't automatically make one of us dominant, one of us submissive. Right. It is the feeling and the mindset behind it. I take actions all the time that make me look dominant as fuck. Not dominant. Very submissive. John Brownstone does stuff all the time that if you didn't know him and you didn't know any better, you'd go, well, that looks kind of submissive. Now, usually when people do that curled up nose thing like I just did, they're basing it on really bad, I have forgotten words because it is later in the evening. Stereotypes, right? So it's not the action that makes somebody or something dominant or submissive. It is the intent behind it. So just because you see those character traits in your partner does not automatically mean that they are an untapped dominant or submissive just waiting for you to shed light on it and flip that switch and there they will be for you.
Waiting in the wings to be unleashed.
No. I wish it worked that way. There are some people that I was like, that person could totally top me. Oh yeah. Kink, vanilla as shit. We're talking vanilla milkshake, y'all. Nothing kinky. Nope, not even chocolate sprinkles on that.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. You can't, it's easy to do, especially once you get excited about BDSM, to project what you want and what you need and what you're excited about onto your partner, especially in an existing relationship. Now, I also, just like you're completely right, sometimes people just aren't. They're just not into it. It's not happening for them. Sometimes people aren't going to move as fast as you want them to. Like, maybe they're kind of interested, but they're not sure. Maybe it sounds intriguing, but it also sounds like work. Mm-hmm. Maybe it makes them nervous because maybe they're not even comfortable with their own sexuality, let alone, let's add the chopped nuts and the chocolate sprinkles and the cherry on top.
Well,
they're not ready yet.
We've kind of mentioned this before. You know, when many times what we have heard, the best example, someone discovers they're submissive. Okay, and they delve online and they're like, you know, the light bulb goes off and this is who I am, this is what I am, and they're just digging through resources online, watching videos, listening to podcasts, reading blogs, you know, just doing all this stuff, and you know, months could go by, and they're just, you know, taking in all this information, and it could be many months before they bring this to their partner. Well, they're that much more behind.
Exactly. You've now had all that time to learn and to soak it in.
Yeah.
And your partner's on less than day one at this point. That's the other thing that I recommend. If your partner has any potential willingness, and they have to have a willingness, okay? Sometimes what it is they're procrastinating because you're coming on too strong. You're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You've just had all these months to teach yourself and to immerse yourself in it, and you are, oh, let's go. They're not there yet. So you've got to slow down. And the best way I have found is to share your educational resources with them.
Absolutely.
Let them find what interests them and let them start learning at their own pace, in their own way, and in the way that best suits them. So we are fortunate. We're both readers and listeners. We like podcasts too. So if I tell him about a book, he is very likely to read that book. But not everybody's like that. Some people are not readers, but they're listeners or they're watchers. So if you have a resource you trust, like a book you read, well, is it in an audio book? Is there somebody online in video format talking about these concepts? I will be quite honest. One of the reasons we do so much multimedia, video, audio, and text is because I want to reach all the people where they're at, because some of you will listen to my voice, but you are not sitting there reading a blog post, and some of y'all read 3,000 words that I write, and God bless you. Okay. So you have to meet them where they're at. So when you share a resource, you've shared 10 websites with them and it's all text. Well, if you know they're not a reader, you have just shot yourself in the foot. Mm-hmm. They have no incentive to click that link and read all those
words. What kind of learner are they?
Exactly. Are they an experiential learner? Are they the type of person that wants to talk to somebody?
Right.
Some people are
visual learners.
Exactly.
So
meet them where they're at and point them in the direction of the resources that will fit their learning style. And here's the fun thing. If you don't know, ask. Communication. It's going to start way before they go, yeah, sure, we're kinky and let's do this thing together. So now is a good time to start learning these communication skills. What you don't know, ask. And then, and I say this from a submissive perspective to my fellow submissives, because we have a tendency to have zero patience.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the lesson you have to learn. You have to be patient.
Yes. And the other thing I'd like to add to that, I have heard people say, well, I can't bring stuff to my potential dom Because isn't that topping from the bottom?
We did a whole episode on that. Because it's not.
No.
Submissives lead this transition all the time.
Right. Depending on how you do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, if you like, I want this, I want it now. Yeah, that's topping from the bottom. Sir, daddy, ma'am, I've been interested in this. Here are some resources.
Right.
This is something I'd like for us to explore. Can we research it and talk about it?
So there is something you said reminded me of old advice I've heard. And I think I probably gave this advice. And I'm not sure how I feel about this advice anymore.
Okay.
So something I heard commonly and something I know I've said. It's been years, but I know I've said it. Which is, from a submissive perspective, if you are submissive and you're trying to sort of hopefully get your partner to be your dominant, hopefully they're into it and whatever, the advice has been to treat them like they're your dominant. Say, come up with a title as long as they're comfortable with it. Serve them in ways even if they don't know you're serving. And on one level, I completely reject that now. And the reason I reject that is because when you submit without the other person knowing what you're doing, it's a lack of consent, not necessarily in a dangerous way, but certainly in a way that does not respect boundaries. And two, you are about to burn yourself out and start feeling quite unappreciated.
Yeah.
If you walk around serving somebody who does not know they're being served or does not see it the way you're seeing it because you haven't had a conversation about it and cannot acknowledge what you're doing in a way, in whatever way it is for you, that fulfills you. Like for me, it is acknowledgement. It is small amounts of gratitude. I don't need to be told thank you all the time, but I need to...
It's the thank you, baby girl.
Right.
And, baby girl, you did a good job.
And that's what I need, right? And he knows I need that because before I started submitting to him, we talked about what this meant to us.
Right.
And we've done it together now long enough that he's learned what I need. But if you start submitting and just treating your partner like they're your dominant, thinking that they will like magically see what it means to be a dominant and therefore adopt that style for you and be that for you, it's not fair to them because you've just placed expectations on them that they can't possibly consent to because they don't know that it's happening.
Right.
And you set yourself up for future emotional, mental pain because now you are upset. I've had the conversations with submissives. I've done everything. I'm doing everything. I'm serving. I'm taking care of things. And I get nothing in return. Well, did they know that's what you were doing?
Right.
Did you talk about this? Did they agree to do this? Like, I get it. I get it from both sides of the slash. Whatever side of the slash you're on, once you know who you are and you're in this relationship, you want that person to come along with you. Especially if it's a long-term loving relationship and you've got a happy life and this is just what you need. I get it. I totally get it. But it is not DS unless you are both in it. Unless you have talked about it and you have communicated and you've negotiated and you are on the same page. Even as you stumble, even as you get it wrong, even as you yell at one another, even as things fall apart sometimes. As long as you both know what the plan is, you are in it together. And when you just start submitting... Think about it from the opposite. When we see somebody who just tries to dominate a submissive with no consent or pre-negotiation, we call that abusive. Right? How many of us online have gone, I don't have to call you shit. You are not my dominant. Well, why would we turn around and do that to dominants as submissives to try and like encourage them to dominate us? With no conversation.
And we've had that happen in our local community a few years back. There was a submissive there at one of the munches, as a matter of fact. And dominant there, he dropped a napkin or something. And he told one of the girls to pick it up.
I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she told him. She's like, I am not your submissive.
And truly, that opposite and reverse, I have seen that with dominance. What they do is they do these little, and we read this in erotica, and it's sexy in erotica when you know what you're reading. But think about this in real life. They'll do something as a test to see if somebody has a submissive personality. If it's a mutual flirtation thing, and you know you're mutually flirting with one another, I'm not going to step in the middle of that. Do what you do. But if we're at a munch and some dominant decides to give me some random test to see if I'm submissive enough, fuck you, the horse you rode in on, you can get the fuck out of this. Get away from me and do not let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. So, and would happily say that shit.
Bam.
Because I'm not submissive for everybody. That's for fucking sure. So, and that's another thing. So if you are the dominant who's desperate for your partner to submit, it's a delicate balance. Like, I know when you get naked and you're like doing your kinky sex thing, that is a place to play with domination.
Mm-hmm.
But it should always be done as you're seeking consent for it. Like, you can ask the dominant question of, I'm going to do this to you. Is that okay? Right? Like, you are still seeking consent when you do it. And there are sexy ways that couples play that they don't even think of as kinky. They don't even think of as DS. But those of us who do power exchange, go, oh yeah, that's power exchange. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But when you deliberately do it as a test or a way to make your partner see what this could be like without talking to them first.
Not cool.
That's not cool. That's not cool at all. So no matter how bad you want it, you also shouldn't be manipulating your partner into submitting or dominating.
No.
Like, that's just, that to me, that sets a really bad precedent for your entire relationship. Because if you can't communicate what your needs and wants and desires at this level before you get started, what happens when you're in the middle of it and things get hard? You don't even have the base skills developed at the very bottom of your relationship. The common ground, hey, we want to do this together. So once you get into higher level kink and you're like, oh, we're going to do something complex. Oh, that's right. We have to talk about it, don't we? Oh, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And it causes more problems than it solves.
Right. I mean, even for the time we've been together, when we embark on something different, we talk about it before we do it.
And we don't always, you know, I think some people get very concerned when we talk about negotiation. Negotiation is just another word for communication. It's just another word for conversation. We do not sit across from each other at a boardroom table and like have our lawyers with us. We'll be driving down the road going, you know, I've been thinking about a thing. Yeah, that sounds interesting. And we'll just talk back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then we might let it drop for weeks. Weeks.
And then it'll come back around.
Because if I could give all my impatient kinksters, dom or sub, it is very typical in submissives. Don't feel bad if you're an impatient submissive. You're not alone. But whatever you are, when you feel impatient, the thing I wish I could give you is the knowledge that there is more time than you realize. Hopefully with this partner that you're with, especially if it's been a long-term relationship that you're mostly happy in and it's a mostly healthy relationship. It's got some moments, but... Yeah. You feel like DS will enhance it. You've got more time than you realize.
Right.
You don't. You can't do all of the things at one time, and you don't have to. I mean, it can take us. I wish we moved faster than we do, but we lead busy lives. It can take us a few months to start something new.
Yeah.
And that's back and forth conversation. That's him looking it up on his own. That's me looking it up on my own. That's us just letting it mull in our head. How do we really feel about it? And then coming back together to talk about it.
And you know. Just because we are in a committed DS relationship does not mean I have full blanket consent just to do whatever I want when I want with you.
No.
Right.
No. There are times I give you that consent. I'm like, just do whatever you want.
It's fine. But the consent is ongoing.
Mm-hmm. And it's ongoing from both of you.
Yeah.
Okay. You are a submissive even if you don't have a dominant. You are a dominant even if you don't have a submissive. But you are not submitting, not truly, unless you've got a consenting dominant who's standing there going, yeah, submit. This is cool. I'm here for this. And the same is true of dominance. You are not dominating. You're not doing the action of it unless you've got a willing and consenting submissive there.
True.
And if you were doing the action without the consent, on some level... mild or not, that's abuse of power, that's abuse of privilege, that's abuse of consent. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's a bigger deal than I think we realize, and I think we give submissives a pass on it. And that, even though it might not be as harmful as what it is when a dominant does it, because it is very harmful. It can be very dangerous when a dominant does it. It's still not good when a submissive does it.
Mm-mm.
When you just go around submitting to people who didn't ask to be submitted to, like, it freaks me out. I'm not good, truly, and this is a very small thing, and it's not at this level that I'm sort of talking about. I'm not good when somebody who is a submissive uses a title with me. Like, I don't first of all, I'm not a top or a dominant, so I don't like those kinds of titles. I also don't like titles from people who aren't, I'm not in a relationship with. Like, that's a little too personal for me. But it gives me a very, like, weird feeling. Like, I pull back. Like, I'm, you're too, you could be online and you are too close to me. Like, that's weird to me. Please stop. You have just violated a boundary. I didn't even really know I had until you did it. And I get the argument where people say, well, that's just who I am. Well, there's a lot of things about who I am, but that doesn't give me the right to go up into somebody else's space and put all of who I am in their space without their permission either. So there's a boundary there and you gotta find it. No matter how badly you want your partner to be kinky with you. Like, if you can't respect boundaries now when they're still uncertain, what happens when they've decided to jump into this with you?
Wow, you got your rant on.
I did. It's been so long. Oh, I know. I said kiss my ass a couple of times. I don't know. We don't ever do a drinking game out of my F-bombs. You get alcohol poisoning. I do not recommend that.
No.
I feel good. I don't think we have not said anything new here. I don't think we've covered any new ground. And I think most people who are watching live or who like listen automatically when they see us come through their podcast, you already know this stuff. It's good for a reminder.
Yeah.
I've been told that people do this, so I'm gonna put it out there if you have not thought to do this for yourself. There, I have had kinksters tell me that when they, whether it's a partner or it's just somebody in their community, they hear them saying something they know is maybe not quite right, or they watch them struggling through something, they'll point them to one of our episodes that might help.
Okay.
So feel free. Feel free. You can just go, Kayla said. They don't know who Kayla is. It's okay. We know. It's fine.
Just look for the ranting submissive.
I know. Yeah, we need things that say that, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this hopefully became more informative than I planned. I really thought we were doing like a lazy episode, so
hopefully we
helped somebody.
It kind of...
And if you're not a reader, you don't have to like even think about the blog. We just talked about it. And if you are a reader, please go read the blog. I like when people go read my blog. So we do have a massive bonus section.
Yeah.
For those of you who listen or watch like on a commute or like in between stuff, this is the point. It's time for a bathroom break, or it's time to pause it and come back to it later. Because I've had several people go, you're gonna talk about the move, right? This is a move, but we haven't also done a bonus section in several weeks now.
That's
so
true.
It's all pent up.
Yep, I know.
I got shit to say. Right. I don't know what that shit'll be, but I have it to say.
So are we good?
I don't know. Probably not.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Really will, because we're back. Can I talk to the crickets, Daddy? Please, can I talk to the crickets? I can't stop staring at myself on the computer monitor. So, for video watchers, back in the day, 3 weeks ago, the monitor was our TV, and it was right next, like right behind the camera, and so I could look at myself and still look at the camera. I can't do that anymore. I have to turn my head. The color's good. You know what? My new experimentation on the way I'm eating, I think, is working.
Yeah.
This shirt is loose on me.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Well, I just want to go back real quick.
Okay.
Ben made a comment earlier on about command strips. And yes, Ben, since we've been here, since we can't or don't really want to make any holes in the wall because it's a rental, yes, command strips have been our friend.
We keep buying them and buying them and buying them. Well, and it's funny, this is not a knock on our landlord. We're sure he's a lovely human being. And the house is nice enough, but you can tell it's a rental.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's a rental, and we didn't know this until we started hearing little things since we moved in, that they did not live in. This isn't like somebody's, like the person who's renting it is formerly their home, and so there are all these little touches. This is, they came in, they gutted some parts of it, they added some stuff, and then they made it passable, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are little things, like in the guest bathroom that has two sinks, has a full tub and shower, there's no place to hang a towel.
No towel racks.
No towel racks. no, no again, no
command strips.
Command strips, because we weren't poking holes.
No, nope.
There was not. This is, I don't know what it's like in other.
Even in the master bathroom, there was a towel rack for one towel.
One towel. So
command strips.
Okay, so I have no words for that. The other thing, so I don't know what it's like in other parts of the country, but I'm very used to, not just in Florida, but in the South, where it's hot as fuck for 6 months minimum of a year. Every house you go into has window coverings. Even if they're cheap plastic corded blinds, they all have window coverings. I have never rented a house before that did not have window coverings. Not this house. This house had zero when we moved
not
in.
Even it's like blinds.
Not even cheap blinds. I didn't expect curtains. I don't expect drapes. But I'm Southern and I'm Floridian and I expect blinds. Not at all, y'all. Not at all. So those are the kind of little touches that we're missing. But it's fine. Mm-hmm. I have a bigger desk.
Yeah. You have a new desk now.
I do not sit behind John Brownstone anymore. I actually almost cannot see his computer screen anymore from where I sit. We're both in the living room. So if you're watching us on the live stream, you see us sitting at the fireplace.
Right.
Well, 3 feet to the left is John Brownstone's desk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Across the room, right between the kitchen and the couch, is my desk.
She can't see my screen anymore.
No, but I still know when you're on FetLife, and I know when you're looking at porn, because I just know these things. But it is, it's a big girl desk. Like, it's an actual desk. It's not a little teen tiny desk.
But it's different for me, because people who are watching the live stream or will be watching the video, you will see me on occasion glancing off.
Yeah, I know. We're both looking to the
to the left. As she mentioned earlier, prior to this, I had my computer hooked to our, 48-inch?
Yeah, old as fuck TV.
Well, 48-inch TV, which was in front of us, so I could move the programs over to it, and it was big enough. I look straight ahead, look into the camera, and also see the screen behind it, so I could take down my numbers and monitor things.
Yeah, it's different now.
Now, in this place, the sofa blocks the TV.
Yeah, we bought new furniture, too.
And, so I have to look off to the left and kind of squint my eyes to see the numbers and stuff that's going on the screens.
It's an adjustment.
It is.
And, you know, here's what's funny. These kinds of adjustments do not bother me. They don't even faze me. But when we first got here, we were making all kinds of adjustments. It was too loud. It was hot because there were no window coverings. It took us about 3 days to get settled.
We moved during that
this massive heat wave
that
so
hit
hot.
The country. And
so
it was just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of did double time to get the windows covered in here, something over the windows.
Well, he did. And it still took us 3 days. And that was with everything. You know how it is when you move. There's a lot going on. But here's the problem. He is the stereotypical person who walks around going, why is that light on? Why is that light on? Why is that light on? He's constantly, I could be in a room, he turns the light out on me. So imagine the air conditioner with no window coverings and light just streaming in. It was very bright in here. Great natural light, hot as fuck.
And feels like 100 degree temperatures outside.
He's like, why is the AC running? I'm like, because it's hot as fuck in here is why the AC is running.
I want to explain something here. I have a slight trigger when it comes to
a bad tape. We want to use the word trigger carefully. A bad tape.
A bad tape. When it comes to AC. When Kayla and I moved in together, I had an apartment in Clearwater. And the day we moved her furniture in,
June
5th. And it was hot, okay? And obviously the doors were open because furniture and boxes were being carried in. And we knew it would take a while for that apartment to cool off, especially since it was a townhouse. It was a townhouse. Mm-hmm. It was two-story. Well, we went to bed that night, and it was fairly warm. And we woke up the next morning, and it was even hotter.
Oh my God, it was so miserable. So miserable.
It was horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. The AC unit was right outside the front door, and I walked outside. It was iced over.
I remember that.
Remember
I'd
that?
Forgotten that.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
And actually, the unit faced on the inside the half bath mm-hmm. that was downstairs by the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
And the ice had actually carried through.
Yes,
to the
and
inside.
There was water inside the bathroom. I remember yes. that now. I do remember
okay.
that.
So, we ended up with no AC.
And we basically went most of the summer with no AC.
With no AC in
the crap apartment.
It was.
The pro tip I'll give you on that is always believe the reviews when you read them.
Yeah. So, yeah, when the air conditioner was running so long and so hard, it kind of brought back a bad tape.
Remember the other reason it's a bad tape? We bought the condo.
Yes.
We'd been in the condo. We got in the condo in the springtime when you don't really need the AC.
Right.
And Florida does get spring, y'all. You can open your windows. It's lovely. And then it was not springtime. It was summertime. And it got hot. And the AC wasn't working. We're like, what the hell? What the hell? Why is it so hot? Why is it? And the AC was running all the time. We had been in the condo for like 2 or 3 months. And we had to buy a new AC unit. But because as owners, it was on us to do it. But you know what? We bought the oversized AC that worked really well.
Yep.
We were never hot again.
So in my defense, I have a little bit of bad tape when it comes to AC.
I think also it is that part of you that really, really hates the idea of spending even a dime more on electricity than you have to.
I'd rather spend it on AC than lights.
You don't want to spend it on anything. When we buy again, we've already talked about potentially going solar. And the only thing, so I told him the starting cost if you buy solar panels, blah, 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 as they are right now. And he clinched a little bit, but then I went, yeah, but your electric bill's like probably a connection fee is usually what
you
get charged.
Yeah, and you can even sell electric back to the company.
He unclinched. It might be in our future. So we did, because I don't have a problem putting this out there, we did have one of our very rare arguments.
Yes.
And it wasn't, and it was funny because it was an argument, but it was not an argument. So because I'm the submissive, we really don't argue. He says, I want a thing to happen. And I go, okay, here's the thing. As a submissive, let me talk to the other submissives out there. Sometimes I go, okay. And sometimes I go, oh, okay. And sometimes I go, fine. And you remember what it was now? That was the okay he got. I was sure. Well,
yeah.
Fine. What the fuck ever. Fine. Everything's fine. And then because the way we parent is, we are a united front in front of the kids. So the kids are upset because it was a change of plans in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are like, well, I thought we were. I'm like, but we're not going to now. And every time I had to calmly tell a child, but we're not going to now, I got angrier. I got angrier. And we got past the whole episode. The whole thing where he had said, no, we're not doing that. We were like hours past when that would have occurred. It was over. It was done. And both of us were still pissed off.
I was not at my best.
Me neither.
All the stress of the move.
Mm-hmm. It caught up with us.
Had caught up with us, caught up with me. And it was like the bottom just fell out of me and there was just nothing left.
There was no communication. There were no questions. There was no, how do you
Kayla,
feel about this
Kayla
from
always,
either of us?
Kayla always talks about how good of a communicator I was.
Not that moment.
Well, at that point in time, I totally went to the other side of the spectrum.
Yep.
I shut down.
Yep. And
I had walls.
Right. And it is one of those times when it's almost an inherent unfairness of DS, because I take our roles very seriously. So if he is the decider, that means even when I disagree with him, unless it's a boundary or like there's I can say this is why I disagree. Not, but that's what I wanted. That to me, that's not a valid reason to be disagreeing. When he says this is what we're gonna do, blah, I'm gonna give him what he wants. even when it pisses me off to do it, even when it is the exact opposite of what I want. And normally he's very sensitive to that. He's like, ooh, you're giving me what I want and you do not like this. Let's deal with this. Let's smooth this over. And it was one of those moments he did not. And so I, because I'm just distressed, start building it up in my head. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care that you give and you give and you give. And now you're missing out. Drama queen, drama queen, drama queen. Next thing I know, we are in a parking lot. Just the two of us. The kids are at home. I'm screaming and crying. He's got the jaw clenched. We're fine now.
Yeah.
So here's what's really funny to me about this move. I was a little stressed pre-move. I mean, yeah, because of course moving is stressful. But when I compare to before and then after we got here, I was not stressed. By comparison, it was not at all stressed. We had a plan. We had a timeline. Yeah. We had a schedule. We worked the plan. We crossed things off the list. Fine. The move, the day of the move, fine. The movers were great. They only broke one thing, and that thing was so old. I'm glad it died a death. Okay, I'm glad it's not in here anymore.
It's fine. My poor reading lamp.
Oh my God. It was, 10 years old and you bought it for $20. We got our money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
It was fine. So the day of the move went perfectly, just like we wanted it to. By that night, we actually had most of the bedrooms completely unpacked. Like, we were half unpacked on the first day because I run a tight ship when we move. Yep. Just how I'm saying. But it was post-move that my stress flared up. He was finally sleeping again because he hadn't been for the week prior to the move. Nope. That's always fun. And now I wasn't sleeping. And now I was stressed because it was too chaotic and because there was a plan, but there wasn't a schedule. There was a, these are the things we have to do, but there was not a, we're going to do it on this day, that. And we were flying by the seat of our pants. I don't do flying by the seat of my pants.
No.
I do schedules and routines. This is how we keep my anxiety in check. And my anxiety spiked last week. Even if we had wanted to do an episode, I couldn't have done one.
No.
I was like, it was not happening. So we are finally, I think, there's still plenty to do. I still have one kid that still needs to be registered for school. We still have a couple of things around the house. We are finding out the quirks of this particular house. Like, in our beautiful giganto bedroom, and to us it's massive. It's like way bigger than the old one, where he can swing a flogger as soon as we have the privacy. The ceiling fan is positioned in such a way that where the bed, the only place in the bedroom the bed makes sense to be, is the only place. None of the air from the fan reaches that corner.
No.
None. So you're laying there at night going, I know the fan's on, I know the AC's on, I can't feel any of it. I cannot feel any of it. So we still have to get a fan, and we still have to fix one window covering, two window coverings. We have like these little things still to do, but I think we're mostly settled.
We're mostly settled. And
almost every box is unpacked.
One box that's here at the house.
We have a storage unit. There's boxes in there,
and I've been slowly emptying the storage unit, getting that stuff out
And your
of there.
Shop is back up
shop
and together.
Shop is back up and together.
So
yeah, I mean, things, you know, all things considered, we've done well.
I think so. And as much as every time I think about moving in a year, I kind of cringe a little bit, it will be easier.
Right.
We're most likely going to stay in basically this neighborhood because of the school zone. We will not have to prepare a house to sell, a house to move out to rent the way you have to prepare a house to sell. We'll do somebody local for the move, so that'll be a real quick move. Some of it will just carry over.
Right.
So it'll be a lot easier. We also kept every single one of our boxes that are already labeled. So like, I'll hand a kid his boxes and go, put your stuff in this. And then we'll take our boxes and
as each box was unpacked, I cut the tape, folded them up, and they went into storage.
But in a year from now, when we are in a different place, I don't want anybody to talk to me about moving no damn where, anywhere, for years.
Many, many years to come.
It should be a child who is moving that we are helping to move. That's the only thing I want to talk about moving after this.
Hoping to move
one
to
more
college.
Year. One more year. Is all, and that's it. I'm done. Done. So, yeah. So, I mentioned it at the top. I don't know if anybody remembers or even cared or paid attention. I was drinking my latte. Love my latte. This is for the poor microphone. This is my ice.
The coffee emergency.
The drink. So we have the coffee emergency. For podcast listeners, you would have missed it. We have no iced coffee. We could have gone 5 minutes up there at a Dunkin' Donuts. We did not.
No.
I went 15 minutes up the road to
Starbucks. And you were like, oh, I'll go to Starbucks.
I really wanted a latte. I was like jonesing for a latte.
I know.
But here's what I've done, and I'm not unhappy about it. I think I'm looking at myself in the camera, and I can see the effects of it. Like, this shirt is comfy loose. Oh, my gosh. Love this. Like, love this. So we've talked about this in the past, and I try not to talk about it too much because this is not a diet channel. Even though I really want to do something with Fit for Kink again, I got ideas. I've been doing the keto diet for over a year. You've been doing mostly low carb because you still eat carbs from time to time.
I still do have, yeah. Right.
And I lost about 20 pounds on keto, and I could, until we went to London, I could sustain keto really easily. It's very easy for me to eat that way. It's very satisfying. I enjoy it. But I wasn't losing any weight, and I kept, like, bloating up and feeling yucky, and I would eat meals that tasted delicious, and my body would go, what are you doing to it? So I have, because I follow a keto diet, I hear all the time about something called a carnivore diet. And there are many versions of the carnivore diet. I cannot just eat beef and drink water, which is like the most severe version. That does not, I love beef, that does not appeal. And I didn't want anything where I had to give up coffee or iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody I follow on YouTube who talks about the keto diet, and he talks a little bit about the carnivore diet, is Dr. Ken Berry. He's awesome. I get teased that I'm trying to take Dr. Berry to bed with me when I watch videos.
Yes.
He's got one of those voices. He could come to bed with me. I'd be okay with that. Anyway, he did a video on, here's a very simplified method of carnivore that's not too extreme or too whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh God, I could do that. Because it's all stuff I've been wanting to eat. I've been thinking about carnivore, blah, 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 blah. But one of the things that had to happen was no more sweeteners. Now, I don't eat regular white sugar, brown sugar, like none of the regular sugars. I was doing stevia and things with Splenda in them. I've given those up, including in my coffee. The thing I was not supposed to keep having for this little carnivore thing was heavy cream. And that was that was the step too far. I went, okay, I can give up the sweeteners and I will... Once I get used to not having sweetener, then we'll think about the heavy cream situation. But yeah. I don't have cheese.
That's so sad.
I know, and I'm such a cheese lover. I eat meat and butter and eggs and bacon, and I drink coffee and unsweet iced tea. No sweeteners. Heavy cream is like my last vice. And I feel better than I have in ages. But, so my coffee... was truly decaf espresso and heavy cream, nothing else, no sweeteners, and I drank it and it was delicious.
Yeah. Now I have to admit, even for myself, leading up to the move, we were eating out a lot because we had most of the kitchen packed. And I had started to put some weight back on.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did too.
And I noticed that when I went to the keto, when I was truly eating keto, because I found I can eat some carbs without...
You do okay, yeah.
Without any implications. But while we were in that period of eating out, I was even eating more carbs than I had toned myself
back
to.
Right, and then you're not controlling the oil they use or the way they cook stuff or what ingredients they use, and... Oh, we both felt the effects.
And now, since we've been here and the dust has settled, I'm back to cooking our regular meals again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have found, as of yesterday, when I put my belt on...
Is it loose again?
Starting to...
Okay.
I've started to drop off some of those excess pounds. And also, my mental clarity...
Yeah,
during
I can
the
feel
move.
That for sure.
I mean, yeah, there's some of it that was stress, but I think part of it, too, was because of my eating habits. And now that I've gotten back to the way I've been eating, that's starting to, which is probably what's helping me sleep better, too.
Oh, my gosh, she was not sleeping at all.
No.
So, yeah, that's us on that stuff.
Yeah.
We've moved. I've changed my diet again. It's hard. I've had cravings for things. I'm like, would somebody just let me lick the can of Diet Coke?
No baby girl.
I know.
No baby girl.
I know. We're going to try after. I'm trying this for a month to see how I feel and see what it does, blah, blah, blah. And if it's sustainable, then I'll keep doing it. And if it's not, then I'll find something else. But what I'm hoping to do is get to a point where I can have sweet things, even Diet Coke. Y'all know how I feel about my Diet Coke. as an actual treat and not like a staple in my diet. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the move, there were days where I only drank coffee and Diet Coke. I didn't even have water. That's all I drank was coffee and Diet Coke. And it's, you know what? If you can drink that stuff and you feel good, then drink it, and that's fine. I just didn't. By the end of the day, I was sluggish, and I was bloated, and I was miserable, and then my mood was off, and I was like, oh, I don't like this anymore. So, I'm sweetener free for now 12 days. I started on June 1st, so 12 days as of recording.
Yeah.
Whew, we'll see what happens. So what else? We, just a reminder, if you are a Kinky patron, we have a live Q&A on Saturday.
Yes, that's coming up.
We had to change the time of that because, not because of all this with the move, but because somebody named John Brownstone,
that'd be me,
a social fucking butterfly, we now have to have a family count. Y'all, I know a lot of people have had family calendars, probably like their whole family lives. I have never needed a calendar to know what the hell I'm doing. I have like on my phone my appointments, but we mutually have never had so many appointments that, so he's, I'm like, oh, well, Saturday, it's the third Saturday we do our Patreon live Q&A, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, fuck. I'm like, what do you mean, oh, fuck? It's the third Saturday. This is the thing. He goes, we're supposed to go to this event in Gainesville and do that. And I'm like, well, you're supposed to what? We're what? And then I got mad again. And then I had to like control myself and calm myself down because that was not very submissive of me. But I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then comedy of errors here. I go planning the time for our live stream and forget that like 2 hours earlier, I think the timing will work out. I have a nail appointment with my aunt. My aunt lives in town, and that's what she'd like to go do together, and that's fine. I haven't gotten my nails done in months. I'm ready for it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm glad it's just a manicure. I'll be probably running into that live stream like my ass is on fire with coffee. So, because of course I will be. But I'll go to Dunkin'. It'll be fine.
Thank you.
yes, the Dunkin' Donuts is closer than the Starbucks. So we do. If you are a Kinky patron, this is just your yet another reminder. If you are not a Kinky patron, definitely join us. $1 a month will get you in there. But I want to do our patron shout out.
Yeah.
There's Lorana, who I believe was watching live. So hi. Mm-hmm. There's Kalina, who I think was watching live. There's Jay Conduit of Queerness Itself, and I love that fucking name.
Right.
There's Laura and James. I will not say last name because that's not cool.
Nope.
And then we have a newer person. And I love this name, Bella Pink Baby Girl.
Aww.
I think that's awesome. So thank y'all for being patrons. Those are not all our patrons, but we have a level. And if you do a level, you get to be shouted out. We also have a new P.O. Box.
Yes,
which
we do.
Which we had the P.O. Box. And if you are watching the video, the address is down below. But we have a new P.O. Box. And we haven't gotten any real mail to it yet. And I'm kind of sad. But because I didn't give anybody the address, how the hell would you know?
You can't get it if you don't give it out. Baby girl.
I know. So I think it's a new move. It's a new day. It's a new whatever. And I haven't actually talked to you about this. So I guess, I have an idea.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Instead of
doing
postcards back to people who sent us postcards. First of all, some people did not, a lot of people did not give return addresses, so I never could. And then I would try and save them all up and, then there'd be a stack and then I'd forget. So I want to start fresh with the new box.
Okay. New concept.
Well, one, I always love mail. I love mail so much. Because I'm a baby girl.
Well, I have to say, it was cool getting all the postcards and letters.
Yes, and I still want postcards and I love letters. And God, then we get packages like the box the shirt came in.
Right.
We had to do an IG live because we got that after the last recording. And so I was like, oh God, it'll be 3 weeks and we won't. So that's a reason you should follow that handle I hate on Instagram, because when stuff like that comes up, we go on live. Anyway, so I was thinking, and this is not a definite, don't anybody get your hopes up, because he hasn't said yes and I haven't done anything with it. But what if instead of sending postcards back, we like got bookmarks or stickers or something with the logo? I know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll have to
I know.
We'll have to mull it over and talk about it a little bit.
I know. I've been wanting to do stickers. I mean, like on our Redbubble shop, you can get stickers of some stuff we've got. We don't have near enough stuff on there. We should do more graphic-y stuff, but it has not been happening. And I've always wanted to do bookmarks. And I think it's because I'm a reader. But I'm that sacrilegious reader who will dog-ear a book. don't have any fucks to give. I will turn that. I love books that have been so...
I'm calling the book police.
No, you know what a dog-eared book means? It means it's been fucking read and loved and handled. And a human went, I have to mark my place so I can come back to it. It means they came back to it and then they read it. And if there's multiple dog ears, it means either multiple people read that book or one person read that book multiple times. That means that's a loved book. That's what I'm saying. Also, I'm the person who will lay it flat and crack the spine. You can't trust me with books.
Oh my God. I'm living with a book offender.
A book barbarian. Cruelty of books. The mistreatment of books, but I love books.
Oh my God.
And I actually have two boxes in storage with books that I want to be reading and I'm not reading.
All this time. They're in storage. And I never knew you.
I know. You think you know some people.
Yeah.
You don't. Oh, I'm sure there's somebody who's like, could you please give us your P.O. box?
Yes.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. It is. Okay, this is like the old days when I was like, okay, everybody get a pen.
Yes.
Open your notes out.
Yes. Shame. Shame.
Nope. I'm a book lover.
The walk of shame.
My
for you.
Books, when you borrow a book from me, you know it is well loved and well used because it looks like it's been through the fucking ringer, okay? Because I handle my books. I'm like all physical with them. Consensually.
Give the address.
Way, if we decide to do this, we will do something extra for patrons because that's only right and proper. Anyway, so what happens when I have ideas? P.O. Box, notes app open, pen, pencil, whatever the fuck you use, blood, I don't care. It's P.O. Box 434. I know, I gotta get a new patter down for it. P.O. Box 434. We are in Ocala, Florida. That's O-C-A-L-A. Non-Floridians usually say Ocala. That is not right. It is Ocala. And the zip is 34478. 34478. Yeah. I want mail. You do realize, to anybody who's ever sent me mail before and waited for a reply, I will be just as bad at sending out bookmarks or stickers as I am sending out postcards. You do know this, right? I'm just saying. You just need to know it. Maybe I can get some LB... note cards made that they can be mailed. Vistaprint is my friend. I mean, we had our wedding invitations printed through Vistaprint.
Yeah, and they were very nice.
And I've had kink things printed through them, like with our logo on it, and they don't blink. They just print and send that shit out. I'm here for that.
Right.
So, this is a really long episode. Did it help anybody? Probably not.
Yeah, it was.
Make me happy. And we have another video to record.
I know.
Because we're getting back to videos.
Video killed the radio star.
Hell, that's the podcasters. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's right. We're podcasters. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
All right.
Okay. We I guess we have to, like, let, I did everything, right? I shouted out, and I did the P.O. box, and I talked about coffee, and I talked about my lack of sugar in my life, and yeah, we did all the things.
We did all the things.
We did all the things.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you watch the video will you see me like do little dances. Sorry, podcast listeners, you can't watch the goofy dorky dance, and it's goofy dorky dancing.
Yes,
I
know
rhythm. I know rhythm.
Yes,
I didn't have rhythm during sex. Have you ever noticed? Oh, God. Really? Oh, God. That was the moment to go, baby girl. No, you're fine. We moved together just fine. No.
We have a relationship based on honesty and, you know.
And giving each other shit.
That's right.
Love you, Daddy.
Love you too, baby girl.
Y'all, we are so happy to be back with you. Thank you for listening to our ramblings.
It's been great.
I kept talking about Patreon and didn't give the address. Patreon.com/KaylaLords. Link in the description below. Link in the show notes. Come be a patron. You help us do more of this stuff. You get sneak peeks at stuff. You get stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Always stuff.
Stuff. So that's it.
Yeah.
Until next time. Yeah, next week I really do have some actual episode topics, but We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get back to normal.
We'll get back to, well.
Normal's not the right word.
To a regular routine.
There we go. That's better. That's better. Okay. We love you guys.
We love you, folks.
Bye.